The Lancet Psychiatry Podcast, bringing you the latest news and views from around the world of mental health. Thanks for joining us. Here to discuss the importance of publishing the perspectives of service users is Erica Crompton, mental health campaigner and freelance journalist. Erica, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you started an online magazine called HopeZine, and I was wondering if you could just tell us a bit about what HopeZine is.
Well, essentially, it's a zine. And what a zine is it's a small circulation, self-published publication. So it's like a magazine, but it's a lot smaller. So rather than having a big circulation of, say, 5,000 or 50,000, I'll only print off around 100. And then I'll send a PDF of the HopeZine to around 1,000 subscribers then. So it's only a small publication. And I also publish the content on hopezine.com, which is the website. So it's just like a small magazine. And it's entirely written by people who have experienced suicidal thoughts or survived suicide attempts. And it's giving a voice to those marginalized people who may not, you know, have a voice in, say, The Guardian or The Telegraph or the bigger publications. It's giving them a voice in a magazine. And I think it works not just to give hope to the people reading it, but it's quite nice for the contributors. There's a community of us that work on it. So it's quite nice for them to see their work published and to receive a copy and a check in the post. I think that's quite nice for them too. So I guess it's a zine, but it's also a community and a network.
Can you give us a little bit of an idea of, you know, what does a typical HopeZine issue look like? What kind of material and content do you publish?
Well, it's mainly articles that are written in the first person about people and their struggles and how they've survived either a suicide attempt or adversity. And it's their hopeful stories of how they've come out the other side of that. And we run these articles or poems or scripts alongside artwork, and that's often by service users as well. And I've tried to make sure that the artwork's very colourful, very bright, very uplifting and positive. I'll give you an example. One of the cover artists was George J. Hardin, who the Lancet Psychiatry dedicated their cover issues to in 2015. Mm-hmm. And he's contributed a cover to the latest issue, which is called Smiling, Shining, Neurons Firing. And that's all about overcoming adversity. And it features like bright primary colours and rainbows and smiling faces. So it's very kind of positive. So that's the kind of content we're publishing. And it aims to give hope to people reading it. Anyone feeling low or suicidal might feel uplifted from reading it is kind of what our aim is.
Okay, great. And when you started HopeZine, did you sort of spot a gap in publications like The Guardian? And then there's, you know, obviously a slew of medical journals related to mental health.
It wasn't so much a gap in the market as more kind of addressing what I felt wasn't there. But the main thing that spurred me on was in the summer of 2018, I lost 4 childhood friends to suicide. And that really impacted on me because I've been a mental health campaigner writing about my mental health for 10 years. And these people are on my Facebook, and I kind of felt quite bad that I hadn't reached out to them enough, or that they didn't know they could have contacted me if they wanted to. And it kind of hit me what a problem suicide can be. And I wanted to then use my own experience of surviving a suicide attempt to kind of help others understand what people might have been through that were left behind from these loved ones. But also kind of help others that might be feeling that way too, you know, whether it's that they're buying the magazine or just having a look on the website, to help others to stop them from going down the suicide route. So it's mainly spurred on by those 4 suicides. And what later happened after the second issue was there was a mutual friend of those that we lost to suicide. He's a successful businessman, Matt his name is, and he actually owns a business, and he decided that he'd sponsor the back page of the next 4 issues. So all the issues that we publish this year will be sponsored by him, which is amazing because it means that it can cover the costs of printing and distribution. It can also pay the contributors. So it's kept things afloat. And I just think, you know, it's nice to feel like you're working together to prevent something and to help others and to help others understand a little bit better as well.
And in over the course of publishing Hope Zine, have there been any particular authors or a particular piece that is stuck with you?
Yes, there was September last year we published issue 3, and that featured the cover star, who was The Last Skeptic, and he's a rapper from London. And he raps about all kinds of things in a very honest way, but one of the things he raps about is self-harm and depression and anxiety. And I asked him to write a story for us, and he agreed. And he wrote about his technique for writing and how it's cathartic and how making music is cathartic to him, and how it's not about the being on stage or the finished product or the amount of followers he's gained on social media. It's kind of about the process of writing and how that feels. And for him, that's kind of, you know, a beautiful thing. And he wrote about that, which was really nice. And I think that that could inspire a lot of people, like, you know, to maybe to get involved in writing as catharsis to mental health problems. But he also provided some really professional images as well, which we used on the front cover. And I think that summed up, at the time we were aiming the magazine towards middle-aged men with mental health problems, because suicide was impacting on them more locally. So he was kind of like, you know, he was the perfect cover star for that issue, which was really nice.
Has it been difficult to get content? Are people reluctant to share their experiences, especially, you know, as you said, groups like middle-aged men who are more, you know, are more at risk for suicide? Has it been difficult to get people to contribute to it?
Not at all. No, people have been really forthcoming, and they don't even want the payments. They say, no, I'll do it for free. I want to help people. You know, this isn't a commercial exercise for me. They want to write their stories. And people have gone off, and you know, one lady that I'm friends with, she's also a mental health campaigner with, and we share a diagnosis of schizophrenia, but she went off and wrote a whole script based on a group of friends that collectively are a mental health support group. So that was really nice, and it's nice to see that people get inspired and want to write something. That's quite nice. And actually find, I mean, as a freelance journalist, I don't just cover mental health, I cover other things. But I mean, for example, today I've had to try and secure an interview with a Vogue staffer and some influencers on Instagram, and it's been like bashing my head up a brick wall. I can't get them to agree to an interview. They're really reluctant. And you know, it's been an absolute contrast to work on Hope Zine. People have just wanted to help. We've got the next issue is going to be with a local photography group for vulnerable men. And it's going to be a visual issue where it's just going to be visual photography of like local people, because it's quite an impoverished area where I live in Stoke-on-Trent. And then the issue after that is going to be a USA special. And we're doing it in conjunction with No Longer Lonely, the dating website for people with mental health problems. So they were all really forthcoming. People just wanted to be in the magazine, and it's been really sort of quite an honor to read their stories and be entrusted with them.
That's great. And what as you move forward with Hope Zine, what are the what's the future for Hope Zine look like? What are you hoping to do with it as you move forward?
It'd be nice to continue. I mean, I've kept the schedule quite relaxed, because obviously stress is a trigger for my psychosis. So it's just four every year, sort of seasonal thing. So it's quite easy. It's quite an easy time frame to work to. It'd be nice to carry on and get more sponsorship. But if not, the plan is to collate everything into a book, all the previous stories and poems. Write a little bit more myself on my master's degree in creative writing, which I'm doing at the moment, a little more poetry, a little more stories of hope, and then self-publish it on Amazon as a book. And I think what would be really nice is the contributors that have written for a zine, they'll now have their stories published in a book. And I think it would be really nice to invest in 20 copies of the book and send them out to contributors complimentary, and you know, since they can see their work in a book, then I think it'll be really nice.
That sounds great. What, so, you know, I just want to say, speaking as an editor that, you know, mainly deals with mental health research, like, you know, peer reviewed research, but does get an opportunity to handle more personal, you know, first person narratives of mental health. I do often find that there's so much of, you know, mental health and mental ill health that's very difficult to capture in numbers. Oftentimes you end up gaining a lot of insight and learning new things from people's just stories. So I think it's great that you're doing this.
Yeah, I learned something, different strategies from coping from the other people that have contributed their ways of survival. And, you know, it's really, I hope that other people can learn from these stories too.
All right, Erica, thanks very much for joining us today and talking with us.
All right, thank you very much. It's been nice talking.
That's it for this episode. From the entire editorial team at The Lancet Psychiatry, thanks for listening. Be well and stay safe.